Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland. Yes, it is another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, feeling real peaceful lately. That's because talking about peace of mind in estate planning.
Yes.
And we started this study last couple of shows. We're going to continue that this week. But a review of why does estate planning give you peace of mind?
Yeah, and we utilize Philippians Chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, which says, don't be anxious for anything. So in other words, if there is something in our hearts that are pinging us, that if there's something that's going on, oftentimes that can be a signal to us that says, we need to get something right. We need to get something aligned. And how do we do that? Well, we're given instructions by the Apostle Paul. It says, let your requests be known unto God with prayers and supplications, with thanksgiving. And then what's the result? The result is that when we start using our voice, when we start responding to that thing that is not right in us, that thing that is causing us anxiousness, then we will have the peace of God, and it guards our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. And that word guard means to be a watcher. It means to stand guard and to surround and protect. That's really where I want to be. I want to have that deep sense of protection. I want to have that deep sense of being surrounded, that there is not an anxiousness behind me that says something is not right. Something is left undone. And that can be something that is spiritual. It can be something that is physical, but it can also be something that is practical. Practical, such as we all know that we need to do this thing called estate planning. We all need to have our affairs in order. And there can be an unsettling behind us when we don't have that solid foundation. So how do we get it? Well, number one, we got to take an action. We have to let our voice be known. We have to communicate. And actually, that's what estate planning is supposed to do. Estate planning in general is supposed to use your voice. It is supposed to tell other people, what are your wishes? What are your desires? This is how I want things to flow. And I encourage people oftentimes that we should be going before our Heavenly Father to hear what He has to say about our estate plan so that we can get that instruction about what we are supposed to do. That ultimately is going to lead to the deep sense of peace that we're looking for, is when we know that we're in alignment with what we are supposed to do. So when we have this anxiousness, when we have this unsettled feeling, when we already know that something is left undone, there is a response we need to take. But unless you take that first step, unless you actually begin the process and seek after what is the vision that God has for me and my family with what He has given me stewardship over, and what am I supposed to do with that, then I can't get you to that last part, which is you have the peace that guards, stands surrounded around you, and it guards your heart and your mind. You are stable. You know that you are well protected. You know that your family is going to be well protected. So that's been the basis of these past weeks of what we've been talking about, is that when we do something that we know we're supposed to, when we get our affairs in order, there is going to be a peace. And when we do it right, then there's even going to be a greater sense of peace. So this is not about getting a document, everybody. This is about doing estate planning properly. This is about doing it in a way that you know that you're well protected, because that's my first job. And then number two, should something or when something happens to you, because it's really not an if clause, it's a when clause. When something happens to you, you know you're going to be well taken care of if you are alive but compromised. Or when it's your time to pass away, that you know your family is going to be well taken care of. It's not about moving money. It's about taking care of those that we leave behind, making sure that everything is well in order. And so that's what we're talking about. How do we gain that peace of heart and that peace of mind that will stand as a guard around us? Well, it starts by action. And it starts by taking care of the things that are practical in our life as well.
And again, remind us of the percentage of the population who has taken this action?
Yeah, less than 50%.
Less than 50%.
And even if you are in retirement, because that's really the age group that I see the most of. Now, that's unfortunate because as soon as you have children, as soon as you start building a family, as soon as you start building any type of wealth, as soon as you have a decent life insurance policy, you need to do this thing called estate planning. You need to take responsibility for your family. But yet, the highest age group or the most common age that I have coming to my office is at retirement, because you're finishing your years, you have the wealth that you have now built, and you understand that life is getting shorter. So now it's kind of like that ping that says, now is the time. I should really do this and get everything done right. Even at that age, less than 50%, which is unfortunate. Yeah. So that's why this radio show exists, is to give good knowledge and to motivate people to come in and actually get their affairs in order, because I don't know the date when you're going to have a health incident, and I don't know the date that you're going to die. We've got to be prepared for either of those things in life.
And we got up to a couple of the documents that you do need, though: financial power of attorney and the healthcare power of attorney. Did you want to remind us anything about those, or move right on to the next one, which is the mental health power of attorney?
Yeah, so there's major documents that everyone needs, and I'm kind of going through them of why do these documents bring you peace. So we talked about a will or a trust. Those are the disposition documents. Everybody needs a will or a trust. Now, I am always leaning into a trust document. I think that they're more flexible. They accomplish greater goals for most people, tax goals, family goals. Wills are just a simple disposition document. I tend to shy away from them. I'll do whatever a client needs and wants. However, typically I believe that a trust is a far better instrument and fits most people's needs better. So you need one of those documents. Then you need a financial power of attorney, which you just mentioned, and a healthcare power of attorney. These documents are, if you have a health incident, how do we care for you as an individual? Because again, my first job is to caretake you. And a mental health power of attorney is very similarly situated. So in Washington, we have a separate statute for mental health. Mm. We don't use the same health care statute for mental health issues. So in my practice, and I'm not so sure that many firms actually do this, that they actually I haven't seen almost any document, unfortunately, that refers back to the mental health statute, which is unfortunately not right. Because if there is a statute that is telling us what the boundaries and what the rules are according to law, then we need to use that statute as attorneys. So therefore, I, in my practice, set out a separate mental health power of attorney. Now, I am not a medical doctor. I do not have that type of a degree. I am a doctor, but it's in law, so this doesn't help me at all with medical issues. So I'm not a physician, and I'm certainly not in the mental health space. So all I can do is look at the statute, build a strong document that aligns with it. But the difference that I have seen in statute is that the healthcare power of attorney is intended to be utilized for the things that we can, if you think of being in a hospital, that we can operate on, that we can have a procedure for. In other words, it's the physical body. How do we correct and get authority over the physical body? A mental health statute is more in line with what happens if my thought life or my emotional life, the unseen parts of who we are, the things that I can't operate on, the things that can be treated by medications but not by potential operations. So it's the unseen aspects. Mm. That's where I see the differences between these two documents, is that a healthcare power of attorney, very traditional, very much what we think. We're in the hospital. I cannot respond to a doctor. Someone else has to. Or a doctor determines that I cannot appreciate the magnitude of the decision being made, or they need someone else's voice. Mm. And we talked about when we discussed the mental, excuse me, the healthcare power of attorney, that if family members go along with what the doctor is recommending as the treatment plan, there's really no discord. But if I was to rise up and say that is not appropriate for my family member, then that is potentially when a physician, a hospital is going to stop the process and go, great, show us the legal authority that we can follow your voice instead of doing what we believe is medical best practices. So,
does this only come up when someone is like involuntarily committed to a hospital or something like that for mental health reasons?
Or? Well, for mental health, no. Mental health. And again, there is going to be some gap.
Somebody has a breakdown or has an episode. They've struggled with bipolar their whole life. And
it may be something that is newer. We have a whole generation, younger generation, that has more anxiety, more suicide than ever before in history, at least from when we've been tracking it. This is heartbreaking. And at a very young age, parents tend to get locked out of the healthcare decisions and mental health. As a matter of fact, there's entire discussions around healthcare procedures that are outside the purview of parental consent or parental oversight for kids as young as 10, 11, 12, 13 years old. So there's a part of my brain that doesn't understand that we're allowing 12-year-olds to make decisions over their own body that without parental oversight. So that's an issue that is beyond my pay grade. Mm. That is more of a legislative issue. Mm. That is more of a philosophical issue of where society believes we are going. But medical power of attorneys, mental health power of attorneys are going to be the authority that when we are unable to manage ourselves, whether it's a physical decision or whether we are having a potential episode, whether it's in our thought life or our emotions that takes us to a place where we are not fully in control, then who is going to make a decision to step in and be alongside of us to guide and be our voice when these incidences happen? And these are where these power of attorneys are going to step in and allow that voice of authority to assist me. So in other words, they're documents for when I am not able to make a decision or when I'm not in control of myself, physically, mentally, emotionally. So we just use two different documents to make sure that all of our bases are covered because they're different statutes in Washington. And I want to make sure that there is no argument or insecurity. Really, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to remove the insecurity from the healthcare professionals that are caring for you to say, I feel comfortable that I can take the direction of the person who is standing next to you and then respond to that voice to continue the care. So I use two different documents. They together create a whole picture to ensure that you can be well taken care of regardless of the healthcare incident that we are facing. So we need a healthcare power of attorney, a mental health power of attorney, and we utilize both in our system for holistic care should you need it.
All part of getting peace of mind in estate planning. The subject again this week with Paul Grant. If people are intrigued by your approach and they want to find out more about your services, how do they get in touch with you?
Well, you can head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts. So this is a continuation of our current peace of mind show. And so there's previous podcasts, ways to communicate with us, and also upcoming educational opportunities. All that can be found at legacyandfaith.com.
Back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Can I avoid probate? Will I lose everything if my health becomes compromised? How do I preserve what I have for me and my family? Will the government take it all? This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. These are some of the most common questions we get on a daily basis, and there are solutions for all of these issues. It is time for you to protect your family and what God has placed under your stewardship, and we can help. Go to legacyandfaith.com to find out more about our services and upcoming educational opportunities. That's legacyandfaith.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. And continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland this week, continuing a discussion of peace of mind and estate planning, and we've been talking about healthcare power of attorney and mental health power of attorney. Any other health issues that need to be addressed in this planning, Paul?
Yeah, there's a couple other things that we provide, which is we provide a standalone HIPAA authorization because we don't want a document that potentially says that that this document is good if I am found in a position where I can't make my own decision. Well, then how do we get healthcare documents if you are if it's undetermined that you can make your own decisions or not? So we have a separate document authorization form that aligns with HIPAA federal laws so that we can get medical documents and medical files. Those may be necessary in treating you and seeing what's been going on in the past. So that's a separate document. Also, we give a document, a letter to healthcare agent or representative, actually. And that's a laundry list of questions such as, if I'm found to be compromised, do I want to stay at home? Or if I'm unable to be cared for at home, what type of a assisted living or what would it look like if I were being cared for in a different place? What are the characteristics of that facility? Do you want it in close proximity to your family? Do you want it to have a religious undertone or a Christian-based undertone? Are there things that are very important to you that if you needed to change from living at your home to a different place that you would want your family to consider? Well, these things are rarely talked about. So we have a laundry list of questions. It's, I don't know, a 20-page document of very depressing questions, actually, because we don't like to think about this topic, that I'm compromised. But the entire thing about estate planning is we want your voice. We want you to speak into the circumstance so that your helpers, your family members, your spouse, your children, your friends who you've put in place to assist you, that they can look at something, they can see an overarching discussion of what you desire, because most people simply want to follow what you desire for your own health care and for your own care in that circumstance. So yes, there is a critical component that says we need to get you to safety. Then for your long-term care, if indeed that was necessary, we need your voice. So this form is unique to our system, and it is trying again to give your voice to health issues, to give better instructions, better information to those that are going to be making the decisions when you cannot. Mm. So there's multiple other forms included in estate planning, specifically in our system, that I have really never seen anyone else walk into my office when they've done estate planning with others.
It all contributes to peace of mind in estate planning. And moving on to an area where I know we really want to have peace of mind, and that has to do with how to protect our minor children.
Oh, yeah.
And lots of issues regarding this.
Yeah, definitely. So I said earlier in the show that most people come to me when they are entering into their retirement years. Well, this area of having minor children may be the second biggest area, which is I've got little ones, and if something really happened to both of us, you're going out for dinner, and that unthinkable accident happens. Well, statistically, there is a small chance that that will happen, but unfortunately, it's happened. And so we need to have provisions of ensuring that minor children are taken care of. So there's two components when we think about minor children. Number one is the money aspect. Who's going to manage the money? And then the other component of minor children is who's going to be the parent. Those oftentimes are not the same people. We think in terms of someone that we trust with the children, and then we give them all the duties. We give them the financial duty, and we give them the parental duty. I actually have a longer conversation with parents that have minor children of if that is really the direction that they want to go, is giving all power and control to one individual. Sometimes the answer is yes, and other times the answer is no. There may be someone in your family who is fantastic with money, but you wouldn't trust them to raise your children. Mm. Well, then maybe that's the right person to pull the financial component. In other words, money is going to be watched over for the use and for the protection of your minor children as they continue to grow up, as they go through college. And then at some point, we're going to turn those finances over to those now adult children. But think through this. They've been through a devastating incident to where they've lost one or both parents. Now they're being raised by aunts and uncles, typically. And now, are they emotionally exactly who you think they were supposed to be? The answer is probably not, because this is a massive adjustment in life. So we need to really think through whether or not when an appropriate time to hand over finances, or how we unwind the financial power from one person to another person. So meaning at some point, the finances are going to land in your children's hands, but because we are building a plan that says both of you are gone, or there's been a massive life change, is it really appropriate just to hand them money at the age of 21 or 25? I would be of the practical opinion, not the legal opinion. The legal opinion is you can hand it over to them as soon as they're 18. But the practical opinion, the parental side of me, the compassionate side of me says we may want to give them control little by little. In other words, let them have some finances. Let them make financial mistakes. See how they're going to thrive with those financial decisions, and then give them some more control. And it's almost an unwinding of financial power and control. Mm. And the second component then is who is going to raise them. I walk through a drill with parents that when we talk about minor children, of name the attributes that you have that are the most important attributes that this other person has. In other words, what are their highest values? And it may be something like, we highly value education. We highly value a relationship with our Creator. We highly value that they have opportunities to travel and are cultural. We highly value whatever it is. We highly value family unity. Okay, so there's different values that each family has. And the difficult proposition is that you are uniquely created, and you have a unique perspective in life, and these children have been given to you to care for and raise up in the way that they should go. And there is really nobody else who is going to duplicate you. And so therefore, we need to walk through a process of what are your highest priorities, and does this individual that is going to be the parent have those highest priorities in common? Not just that you trust them, but that they are going to be raised in a way that reflects the values that you have, and that you are very confident that this person is going to be the right parent over them. So sometimes we split the duties. We make sure that the finances are well cared for. That can, when we split those duties, it can also add an integrity piece both to the parental side and to the financial side, because then the families have to work cooperatively in raising the children instead of one person doing it. And so then So we need to bring the financial viewpoint and the parental viewpoint together in this extremely difficult proposition, which is imagine what it's like that you're not here and someone else has to raise your children. It's really almost an unfathomable, difficult task. However, that is a part of what we have to walk through in order to make full documents when you have minor children. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make sure that everything that you could ever need for those that you are in charge of and the assets that you're in charge of will be properly cared for should something happen to you.
Well, that definitely would bring some peace of mind in your estate plan to make sure that those kids are taken care of and planned for. We'll discuss this more next time as this show is coming to a close. People are intrigued by your approach, Paul. They want to find out more about your services. How do they get in touch with you?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com, past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us, all found at legacyandfaith.com.
It's the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.